I'm a road runner, honey.
This is VFR Kature and you're listening to WGXC Accra 98.7 FM.
This is Mitch McConnell when I'm up in the Catskills to go hunt bear and visit my friends in the Greene County Legislature. I always tune into WGXC. I love that weird show, the Nothing Is Real Radio Hour, but it's not on very often. What a bunch of crazy Yankees up there. Where is that station again? Oh, now, remember, it's at 90.7 FM on the dial in my Lexus. I wish we had something like that in Kentucky. Don't forget to vote, y'all.
WGXC underwriting is provided in part by Countryside Car Service, providing hourly car services, ground transportation to all major New York City area airports, house sitting, pet care, and home improvement services. Information about these services can be found at CountrysideCarService.com or by speaking to a representative at 518-567-5761.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Leah Bertucci of Kingston, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Signal Hill, Newfoundland. Thursday morning, December the 12th, 1901.
Siamo lieto di poter rievocare, in poche parole, le esperienze delle prime trasmissioni radiotelegrafiche a grandi distanze, da me felicemente eseguite attraverso l'Oceano Atlantico il 12 dicembre 1901. Queste esperienze provarono conclusivamente che la trasmissione e la ricezione delle onde elettriche non erano affatto limitate, come a quel tempo credevano tutti gli scienziati alle brevi distanze, bensì potevano essere utilizzate per le comunicazioni fra il vecchio e il nuovo mondo.
Were designed to start out on breast milk. So if breast milk is so good, why is cow's milk or goat's milk so bad? That's what I want to discuss. Well, I think it really has to do with the quality of milk, okay? Pasteurization. Now, I'm not saying that there wasn't outbreaks of certain diseases like TB and things long ago due to sanitation. But if you have a healthy environment for that cow, and that cow is healthy, then what's really bad with milk? First thing is pasteurization. Well, you might want to say, we want to sterilize the milk to make it really healthy, to get rid of all the bacteria in this milk, this very unhealthy, pathogenic substance. Well, yes, heat kills bacteria, but it doesn't get rid of bacteria. When you're drinking pasteurized milk, you're drinking all the dead bacteria that's in it. But another thing that happens when they pasteurize the milk is they're killing all the enzymes, okay? Enzymes are proteins. There's over 2,500 different proteins in milk, okay? And they're altering and damaging those proteins. They're denaturing those proteins. And I'm talking about proteins that can help someone's immune system. Like, for example, lactoperoxidase, which is an antibacterial enzyme. That's destroyed when you pasteurize it. Lactoferrin, which is a protein that starves off pathogens from iron, okay? So when you have pasteurized milk, that's destroyed. The antibodies in milk are also destroyed. That is an immune benefit that you won't have. Also, lactase bacteria are destroyed. There are certain bacteria that make the enzyme to get rid of lactose, okay? And so those of us that have lactose intolerance, like myself, need lactase, which is the enzyme that breaks down lactose. And in raw milk, there's that enzyme, okay, from that bacteria. So raw milk has a lot of good bacteria that can help us. Now, there's also like 400 different types of fatty acids in raw milk that are destroyed when you homogenize the milk, okay? Homogenization is about breaking up the fat into smaller particles that now you lose the function of that fatty acid because you're now mixing the cream with the other part and it won't separate. And I don't know about you, but my body craves the cream on raw milk. In fact, I could probably live on that cream. It's so delicious and it's so good for you. It has something called the Waltzen factor. What is the Waltzen factor? That's an anti-stiffness factor. And I'm not going to give you the long chemical name, but it's good for rheumatoid arthritis and stiffness because it's anti-inflammatory, especially stiffness. Cures for all sorts of things, to help their ulcers, their GI problems, inflammation in the gut, to help with allergies, gout, gum disease, and even asthma. Now, you might say that raw milk is illegal in your state, but if you go to realmilk.com, there's actually, if I'm not mistaken, at least 43 states that you can get access to raw milk. And sometimes you have to do, and I'm not even sure what this is called, but I think it's some type of program where you're sharing that the cow and you're getting a portion of that cow, which is milk. But anyway, you should check this out, realmilk.com. There's a lot of additional great data. And lastly, I want to just mention the difference between A1 and A2 milk. Okay, this has to do with the protein, casein in milk. If given the chance, get your milk from A2 cows, because A2 is a type of protein that has a lot less bloating, a lot less digestive inflammation. Unfortunately, the A1 protein type milk is more inflammatory and you may find more GI problems. Now, if you have not seen my video on consuming... Thank you.
We consumed their milk raw for about 6 or 7 years. So we're definitely not new to the raw milk game. Prior to having dairy goats, I would actually go out to a farm in Arkansas where we lived, and I would buy raw milk that was marked for animal consumption, and I would drink it and give it to my children. So first, let's talk a little bit about pasteurization. The process of pasteurization was invented by a man named Louis Pasteur in, I believe, 1860-ish. It was not widely used until the 1920s, however. And from what I understand and what I've read, basically as cities grew, populations grew, and the demand for milk in smaller areas grew, whereas previously it had been families had their own dairy cow, or you would have a local person that you would get milk from, and therefore it was very much like
vas a sentir que lloras sin poder siquiera derramar tu llanto. Y has de querer mirarte en mis ojos claros que quisiste tanto, que quisiste tanto, que quisiste tanto. Cuando se quiere a fuerza rebasar la meta y se abandona todo lo que se ha tenido. Como tú traes el alma con la rienda suelta.
When you look at the issue of smoking, the government allows that people can smoke. They can make that choice. So for me, the issue is not, is raw milk better? I know raw milk is better for me. When the people come and say, well, the raw milk is better for them, and it has great health benefits for them, it's not up to the government to tell them it's not good for you. And that is what I'm going by. It's 2 to 3% of the population gets one way or the other, gets raw milk. And what we're trying to prevent here is that because of the crackdown of the government, that actually there is a flourishing underground black market, which is completely contradictory to what the government wants, that they want safe food. They promoting unsafe food by pushing that whole market into the underground.
Solté la rienda.
As well. And in the 1920s, there was also not refrigeration the way there is now. So at the time, the way milk was given to people is the milkman would bring it, and they would milk the cows, and they would go deliver it fresh that morning. It would still be warm when it came to the family. And what happened during that time was with the commercialization of the production of milk, you have all of these animals that were kind of being kept in closer quarters. The handling of the milk was not nearly as regulated as it is now. And the families that were receiving it were receiving milk that wasn't refrigerated. And people started to get sick. Now, I've read some things about how there were basically breweries and distilleries that were using the same equipment that later became regulated to use as pasteurization equipment in their distilling process. And that in Prohibition, essentially all of this equipment was being unused, and they decided to begin regulating the pasteurization of milk to make use of this equipment. I don't know 100% on that, and I've read it in multiple places. I've not been able to fully verify that that's what happened, but I do know that without refrigeration and without regulated handling and with growing a demand, I could very much see that poor practices could have led to a lot of people getting sick. Now, fast forward to today, raw milk is widely illegal. It's changed a lot in the last 10 years, but even now, if I were to take raw milk from these cows and drive it over the state line into Georgia and sell it to somebody and get caught, it's actually a felony, which is crazy to me. Just a little side note, I've actually got some friends up in Oregon that have to sneak to a milk share because though recreational drugs are legal there, raw milk is not. Understanding that background in the history of pasteurization helped me feel really confident that it might not be quite as necessary as all of the scary warnings said that it was.
It's Lisa from the blog FarmhouseOnBoone.com, and today I want to show you how to make raw milk butter. Tilly, you're going to want to join us for today's video. Stress the importance of working cleanly when working with raw milk. Comes in after the milk leaves the animal, where you can get contaminated if we're not working cleanly. So whenever you're working with anything that's going to touch your raw milk, make sure it's been well washed in hot soapy water, including your hands, so that your milk stays good and healthy as long as possible.
Which kills live bacteria on that cow's teat. We then go behind that with a flannel, which is literally just a face flannel.
We always ensure that there's only one flannel used per cow.
We then put an alcohol on the end of the cow's teat to keep kill any remaining bacteria off. Amy's putting the unit on. She's putting the front teats first, not touching the back teats. See, like no hands touching the teat, straight into the unit. So you've got to think like when you've ever been in a hospital and you've seen on a movie like someone doing surgery and the things what they do to not touching something and, you know, all of that stuff. That's the way you need to think about this. Step number five is rapid temperature drop.
Again, it's a really important step with raw milk is that you've got milk which is live. It's got live bacteria in it, good bacteria. That's the idea. What you don't want to do is have that bacteria grow tenfold because it will grow very quickly if you leave it warm. So what we're doing is we're taking that down to cold temperatures within like minutes of leaving the cow. What we're doing is preserving the milk from the word go. This piece of kit is our heat exchanger, or plate cooler. The purpose of this thing is to take milk from cow's body temperature instantly to 4 degrees. And the way it does that is there's a series of lots of little plates. Milk goes in one end and it passes through plates. The other side of the plate is icy water. This is the water which goes through that.
The Franco-Prussian War of 1870 led to many lasting changes across Europe. Among them was France's loss of the Alsace-Lorraine region, which stirred a lot of anti-German feelings through France. This had been a key hop-growing region for France, and in the war's aftermath, a man called Louis Pasteur created a beer of revenge in a quest to show the world that France's beer was superior to Prussia's because it kept for as long as needed, while Prussian beer went cloudy. This was thanks to pasteurization, which Pasteur developed in 1864 to help wine and beer keep for longer. Now, when we think about pasteurization, we think about cow's milk. But before we knew to heat milk up to kill harmful bacteria, including Salmonella, E. coli, and Listeria, it was dangerous to drink. Before the 1800s, when refrigeration didn't exist, milk was transported in carts from cities to neighborhoods. As cities grew and put more space between cows and people's homes, the longer journey time allowed bacteria to grow in the milk, causing millions of people to get sick with tuberculosis, scarlet fever, and typhoid fever. Pasteurization became routine across Europe and the US by 1950, thankfully, and is now hailed as one of the most successful public health successes in recent history. But there are still
starter culture. Now this can be a half cup of yogurt that you already made or a half cup of yogurt gotten from the store, and you want to make sure if you get it from the store that it is a cultured yogurt. Next, I like to add it to a heat safe bowl because it's going to go in the oven. You can't. My first week, and I'm going to show you my gallons. And they are so pretty, number one. I just think they're beautiful. Whoops. Excuse me just a second. So this guy right here, I want you to take a look. I don't know if you can see, but there is a line of demarcation here. I'm going to set it down and see if you can see. Right there.
That is actually the cream. And it's a new experience. This is cow's milk for me. We've also had goat's milk, and so we're fine with that too, but this happens to be cow. And what I want to share with you is that I happened to get a gallon that was really old. And it was a funny story. The people we got it from, actually, she called me later and she's like, "You're gonna think I'm nuts. I'm so sorry, we pulled the wrong gallon for you." That was actually a gallon that we were sitting in the refrigerator to make sour cream. And it was literally like 2 months old. And we were trying to drink it. I was thinking, well, maybe the date on it was because they had frozen it and then thawed it out for us, which we've had suppliers do before. But so it didn't bother me, but then I made myself a latte before I actually drank it. And the latte was really bitter. It was like an odd flavor. And it did not even dawn on me that the milk was bad. But then who was it that drank it next? My 5-year-old. So then my 5-year-old had just a cup of it. And she got this look on her face, like, "This is the worst thing I've ever tasted." I was like, "What's wrong?" And she's like, "It's not good." And so then I took a taste of it to realize that, yeah, this is older and it doesn't taste great. And it wasn't like your typical store-bought milk sour, like where it's like it smells so terrible you know it's bad before you even drink it, because she actually drank some of it, you know. And then later in the day, actually, she ate an entire bowl of oatmeal made with it accidentally. The reason I'm telling this story at all is because I was kind of forced to figure out what to do with this slightly spoiled raw milk, because I did not want to throw it out, and I just knew it could be used for something. And so I talked to the lady who we bought it from, and I did some of my own research, and I just wanted to show you some of the things. Like in my brain, I'm I like routine. I like checklists. I like knowing what I need to do. And so if I have a gallon of spoiled milk that I can use for other things, I want to know what I can do. And so this is my little nook of naturally processed stuff. This is my sourdough culture that's sitting waiting to be used. This is my kefir. I got some kefir grains from the same said lady, and I've been drinking kefir each day after I make it. This is going to be whey and cream cheese eventually. And then this back here is going to be sour cream. So the cool thing about it is what I learned is that after a gallon of milk goes bad, you have some steps that you can take to use it. Yeah, you can stir that. We're sauteing some onions for a stew that we're making. So the first thing I did...
that actually kill pathogens in milk, in raw milk. And though there are multiple instances, if you look it up, of people having gotten sick from raw milk, there are also quite a few instances of people getting sick from pasteurized milk as well. Understanding how beneficial the whole food of raw milk is for building the gut biome and overall boosting our health, I feel completely comfortable in allowing my family to drink it, especially knowing that the way that we handle our milk is very safe. And I'll talk more about this handling practices here in a little bit. Because... So raw milk, in my opinion, is absolutely healthy.
Raw milk is pretty much what it sounds like, cow to a cup. But your store-bought milk, well, that has to go through a few more steps before you can sip.
It's going to go through two processes. It's going to be homogenized, which basically means that that milk is going to be pushed through very small openings, kind of like a screen door.
That breaks down the molecules. Then there's the pasteurization process, which heats the milk to kill off any bacteria and viruses.
It's not necessarily something that I want everyone to believe the same thing as me, but I want everyone to have the choice if they want to purchase raw milk. As long as you're testing your herd, as long as you're following the right protocol when it comes to cleanliness of your milking system, you're testing your animals, make sure that they don't have any bacteria or any diseases. It really isn't a concept for me of being worried about whether it's not safe or not. The milk that you buy at the store has gone through rigorous processes, and raw milk should also be tested.
Some proponents of raw milk say it packs health benefits and also tastes better. However, the CDC and FDA have warned of potential risk from stomach cramps to more severe cases of hospitalization and death.
I haven't seen any scientific evidence that supports specific health benefits from drinking raw milk. We do worry a lot about the bacteria and other pathogens that can be there, and now everything's gotten even more concerning because of the H5N1 outbreak in dairy cows.
In California, bird flu has been detected in a batch of raw milk sold in stores. Johns Hopkins professor and former dairy veterinarian Megan Davis says it all comes down to the udder. She says any virus in the cow that sheds goes right into the raw milk.
For those dairy farmers who drink their own raw milk, they live on the farm, they live with all the pathogens on the farm, so they're probably getting exposed through multiple routes. So I used to say, it's between you and your cow. Right?
Se me acabó la fuerza de mi mano izquierda. Voy a dejarte el mundo para ti solita, como al caballo blanco le solté la rienda. A ti también te suelto y te me vas ahorita. Y cuando al fin comprendas que el amor bonito lo tenías conmigo, vas a extrañar mis besos en los propios brazos del que esté contigo. Vas a sentir que lloras sin poder siquiera derramar tu llanto.
So what is raw milk?
Ya has de querer mirarte en mis ojos claros que quisiste tanto, que quisiste tanto, que quisiste tanto. Cuando se quiere a fuerza rebasar la meta y se abandona todo lo que se ha tenido.
So I'll show you around.
Como
our
tú
farm,
traes el alma con la rienda suelta. Ya crees que el mundo es tuyo.
Interestingly enough,
y hasta me das tu olvido. Y cuando al fin comprendas que el amor bonito
lo tenías conmigo. Right now, in the marketplace, is destroyed. It is heated. It is damaged and crushed. And
contigo. Vas a sentir que lloras sin poder siquiera derramar tu llanto. Y has de querer mirarte en mis ojos claros que quisiste tanto, que quisiste tanto, que quisiste tanto. Solté la rienda.
And there are various levels. The lower the temperature, the longer the time period that the milk has to be heated. So if it's 165 degrees, it would be for about 30 minutes, and that's called vat pasteurization. That has the least amount of...
¶¶
Let's jump right into it. Now, what about safety? Right from the beginning, let me tell you this. Raw milk has gotten a bad rap, guys.
Any cow's milk, which is fine. This video is for those that can and want to drink milk, even if it is just in their cafe latte. There are numerous benefits to drinking raw milk, although many people are afraid to do so due to perceived dangers. However, are these dangers real, or is it just another case of germ theory run amok? And not everyone realizes that pasteurized and homogenized milk comes with potential long-term health problems that are not associated with natural milk. Surprisingly, raw milk can also give hope for people who have previously been intolerant of processed milk.
Taken, and I've noticed tons of health benefits and improvements from drinking it. And this is a very controversial video because raw milk is considered one of the most dangerous foods that you can consume. And there's a lot of people who are skeptical about raw milk, claiming that it's no different than pasteurized milk. So if you're skeptical, you came to the right video, as I'll be diving into the science, the research, and my own experience with raw milk to see if maybe this food deserves a place in everyone's fridge. So to start off, for those who don't know, what is raw milk? Raw milk is unpasteurized and unhomogenized milk. Most of the milk you find in conventional grocery stores goes through a process of pasteurization and homogenization. When milk is pasteurized, it's heated to a certain temperature for a certain amount of time, where it's meant to kill most of the foodborne illnesses that might be inside of raw milk. And the homogenization is a process that the milk goes through to basically make the fat particles smaller, so that way it mixes with the milk. If you let regular milk stand still, you'll see a separation from the fat rise to the top. In the 1900s, as people in the United States migrated from rural areas to cities, milk from cows had to be transported longer distances and stored at higher temperatures than before. And as a consequence, milk-borne outbreaks accounted for about 25% of all disease outbreaks. So in 1987, the FDA passed the regulation.
I want to know, have you made this mistake with your holster?
All milk to be pasteurized to prevent these outbreaks from happening. And since then, almost every milk that you find in grocery stores usually goes through pasteurization and homogenization. However, there have been some states like California that have passed some regulations allowing the sale of raw milk in grocery stores. And then there also are some states that allow it directly from like a farmer, where you could go to the farm or go to a farmer's market and purchase it there. And there are some states that completely ban it. It is illegal in these states, and the people that drink raw milk there, I always picture like some dude in a car like driving up to a house and like, they're looking around, and then he like pulls out the milk and he's like, oh, you got the good stuff. And it's like this illegal transaction. Now, I do think that the pasteurization was a good thing for society during that period of time. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to drink any milk that's been sitting out in hot temperatures or transported.
How comfortable you are breaking those. A lot of places will sell milk for animal consumption. That's how I bought it whenever I first started. Since that time, Arkansas has since passed the law that you can buy raw milk as long as you buy it directly from a farm, and all these rules have to be posted. A lot of people actually get around the laws by having what's called a cow share, where one person actually maintains the cow, milks it every day, cares for it, but everybody basically pays, is in the cow share, and has partial ownership of the cow. So they actually come get milk from the cow that they own one-tenth of. I hear a lot of ways of people getting around it. There is a website called realmilk.com, and
imagine the soft rustle of grass underfoot as cows meander through lush pastures, their contented munching a soothing soundtrack to the picturesque scenery. The rolling mountains in the background stand tall and majestic, framing each scene with a timeless beauty that invites you to pause and breathe deeply. Feeding along the riverside, as the gentle flow of water adds another layer of calm, complementing the cow's peaceful presence. Here by the water's edge, the world seems to slow down for both you and cows, offering you a perfect retreat from the hustle and bustle of everyday life. We'll take you on a journey with our beloved cows through the sprawling fields, where the open sky stretches endlessly above. As each cow grazing contentedly in the mountain meadows, this embodies a sense of freedom and harmony with the earth. embrace the quiet moments, the simple joys, and the natural beauty that surrounds these grazing cows. Let this video be your tranquil escape, a reminder of the serene pleasures found in the most unassuming corners of our world. Don't forget to like and subscribe for more videos.
Food for an infant, I would imagine they would say breast milk, right? Because breast milk is something that's been created over a very long period of time as a survival thing. You can build a very healthy baby on breast milk. And if an infant is not fed breast milk, oh my gosh, their risk for all sorts of problems go way up. Sudden infant death syndrome, obesity, diabetes, allergies, and the list goes on and on and on. Our bodies were designed to start out on breast milk. So if breast milk is so good, why is cow's milk or goat's milk so bad? That's what I want to discuss. Well, I think it really has to do with the quality of milk, okay? Pasteurization. Now, I'm not saying that there wasn't outbreaks of certain
diseases like TB and things long ago due to sanitation.
Sodium and sulfur. It also contains 24 vital trace minerals that are all bioavailable. Although minerals can't be destroyed when they're heated, they can become unstable and lose a lot of their potency. As an example, calcium loses 50% of its potency when it's heated.
Calcium is what strong bones and teeth are all about.
All 60 known enzymes are found intact and fully functioning in raw milk. Raw milk contains all 22 amino acids, eight essential amino acids, which are the building blocks of proteins. And one of the enzymes in raw milk that's super interesting is this thing called lactase. So when you pasteurize milk, you lose this enzyme known as lactase, which is meant to help break down lactose. So people believe that this may be why individuals who cannot digest pasteurized milk can digest raw milk just fine, although it still depends upon your body and your biology. But I know for myself, pasteurization does not work for me, but the raw stuff does. And the list could go on. Raw milk really is a superfood. It has so many bioavailable forms of nutrients inside of it that are vital for us as we're trying to be healthy. And considering that a lot of our food in the modern day world, basically since the 1940s, has been losing its nutrient density, incorporating nutrient density, whether it's milk or other forms of food, might be important for getting your health back on track. And the last piece I want to quickly go over is homogenization. The homogenization in milk is actually pretty scary.
The piston state pumped through a very narrow opening.
The whole purpose of it, like I said in the beginning of this video, is to make the fat particles smaller so it mixes with the milk and it doesn't separate. And the process that it goes through to do this strips away the structure of the milk, and we have a lot of evidence that shows that because the fat particles become smaller than they should be, it can leak into the gut barrier and the bloodstream.
'Cause this is good.